a few items before we go to our next guest. Last week, on a 231 to 190 vote, the U.S. House passed a bill to prohibit funding needed to carry out President Trump's plan to remove the United States from the 2015 Paris Agreement on climate change. A yes vote was to send the bill to the Senate, and the Louisiana delegation all voted against this, in essence voted with the president. That would be Steve Scalise, Clay Higgins, Garrett Graves, and Mike Johnson. Ralph Abraham did not vote. He's campaigning for governor. The only yes vote there was for Cedric Richmond of New Orleans, and we know the president is a doubter on climate change. He calls it a hoax started by the Chinese. Country House won the Kentucky Derby, and the most controversial of all derbies, a 65-1 shot, after the apparent winner was disqualified in maximum security. And this is a bizarre event, but Country House is the winner, and this is a horse that finished fourth in the Louisiana Derby. And Robert Mueller remains in the news, and we'll be talking about this week. President Trump has reversed himself and said that special counsel Bob Mueller should not testify before Congress, which sets up a potentially explosive confrontation with Democrats over presidential authority and separation of powers. And in-house now are two people involved in the religious community in Baton Rouge, the executive director of the Interfaith Federation of Greater Baton Rouge, Robin McCullough Beatty, no relation to Warren, and Imad Nofal, both of whom have been with us before. Imad is a leader in the Islamic community, and both of them are very passionate about religious tolerance, and they come from different perspectives. Good morning to you, Reverend McCullough Beatty.
Good morning. Thanks for having us today.
And you have some major happenings this week.
That's right. Well, yesterday was our annual Sounds of Community concert, and that was a wonderful tradition as we gathered the faith community together. And then on Thursday, we're going to, because of all the hate crimes that are occurring at our houses of worship, we're going to be doing a disaster preparedness, trying to get houses of worship to really think through to provide safety for those who come and worship and have activities. So that's this Thursday, May 9th, from 9 to noon, and we're in partnership with the Mayor's Office of Homeland Security and Emergency Preparedness.
Well, we talk about religious tolerance, and that's what you're all about. And Imad Nofal is head of the Islamic community in Baton Rouge, has been in many leadership positions. And good morning to you again, Imad.
Good morning, Jim.
Also the owner of a very popular restaurant in Baton Rouge, correct?
Yes.
Do you want to say?
Yeah, Frosttop.
Frosttop downtown. That's Imad Nofal's place. And the president of the United States actually wanted to dine there. But you were closed, right?
Yeah, we're closed for that day, for that time.
He wanted to dine there late at night. As we know, they do close at a time of the night when the president was giving a speech down the street at the River Center. But he was enamored with Frosttop, and for good reason. He likes that kind of food. And Louis Unglesby, the great attorney here in Baton Rouge, says that when he's waiting out a jury verdict, he always does it at the Frosttop. It's
That's
a superstition.
True. Many people come there.
Yeah, many people of all kinds of religious persuasions, and it's right in the heart of the city, and it is a major hub, the Frosttop. But quite often we have great division in this city, and you're right on the dividing line. North of Government Street or north of Florida Boulevard is a different environment than it is in other parts of the city. How does that affect the religious community?
If you're asking me, I think, I believe at least I can speak for our group, our faith, the Muslims. You know that Muslims in Baton Rouge here represent a variety of, they go beyond ethnic and really regional division. We have all kinds of white, Middle Easterns, black Americans, and really people coming from all over the world. And we have over the years shown a very good relation among ourselves and among our neighbors. We have a group of really that contribute to the overall tolerance and understanding among themselves and among the bigger community of Baton Rouge.
17.5 years ago after the attack on America, I remember Mike Foster, the governor of Louisiana, going to a mosque of which you're affiliated, taking off his shoes and worshiping with other Muslims, even though he is a Christian. Today, I doubt that you would see a governor do that anywhere in the country, but he did it. How significant was that at that time?
That was significant. And he wasn't the only official who has come to our place of worship. We had mayors came and many officials, but he was the kind of highest ranking official in Louisiana who come, and I was there. It was really significant for us. People were happy. It was assuring. And we were really, it was a good a good point that we can reach out to all these people. As far as your doubt of people who don't come, I think there's still a lot of people who understand our faith and understand our position in the society, and they're willing to help and willing to come to our place if the time comes.
But public officials, of course, have cameras and microphones, and some of them don't want any part of that when they're going to a house of worship in which people are a distinct minority, and you are, and in this case, unfairly tagged with being perhaps joyful about the attack on America. The President of the United States said he saw people, Islamic people, cheering when the buildings came down in New York City. That turned out to be a lie. The President has never retracted his statements. Does this kind of verbiage, does it cause division?
Definitely. I mean, all over, we media and media feed people, and people go listen to media all the time and look at the officials. I mean, there is as you said, there is things that are lie. The problem is it leaves its effect.
We're going to take a short break, but okay. Imad Nofal and Robin McCullough Beatty will return, and we're back in short order. This is Jim Inkster. Thank you for joining us for Talk Louisiana. 877-217-5757 is your number. And with us are Robin McCullough Beatty, the Executive Director of the Interfaith Federation of Greater Baton Rouge, and Imad Nofal, a leading Islamic leader in our community, and the owner of the Frost Top downtown. 877-217-5757 is your number, and you can send us an email to talk at talklouisiana.org. Next week, by the way, we will have Rabbi Barry Weinstein on with us at this time, and there have been attacks on synagogues in this country, one in Pittsburgh, now one in San Diego, and these are places that should be immune from these kinds of things, but they're not. And Robin McCullough Beatty, Reverend Beatty, what do you think? Is this going to be a sign of the times with more unfortunate incidents like this to come?
Well, I think, I mean, hatred has been with us from the beginning, and what we're seeing, these hate crimes, I would hope all of us would just be appalled, whether it was the synagogue, the mosque, the church, that someone would come in and destroy. I think that the Jews are definitely concerned about the rise in anti-Semitism, and so I think that, and wise to do so. After the attack in Pittsburgh, we had a gathering at Beth Shalom Synagogue, and I was really proud of our community. Probably 400 people showed up in solidarity. Likewise, after the attack in New Zealand, there was an event at the mosque where people showed up. And at some point, that's what we do. Doesn't matter our faith tradition, mm-hmm. but hopefully we show up and we speak against hatred. And it's this just has to stop.
Well, what was it in 2017 in Charlottesville? We had this rally in which these thugs were saying Jews will not replace us. They were chanting that, and the president said there were good people on both sides. He later said that the people he was talking about were those supportive of General Lee and the statue. But nonetheless, it would seem that there's some very bad people on one side in particular, and that these people are in large enough numbers that it's a concern. How concerning is it in the community in which we're living?
Well, I was at a synagogue event recently, and one person there was going to wait until the security showed up, and if security didn't show up, then he was going to leave. So I think that people are taking it very seriously, and it's not just the actual events that happen. It's also conversations in the workplace and in the schools. I mean, bullying takes on a variety of roles, and at some point, bullying grows up and grows into these hate crimes, where people think that if you are different, if you are other, then somehow one is better than the other. as opposed to at some point, can we not just celebrate difference, particularly in our country where we do have the freedom of religion? But it's that everyone has the right to choose religion or not. I mean, that's part of this basic tolerance. And it can't just be everyone must worship the way I worship.
877-217-5757 for Imad Nofal and Robin McCullough-Beatty. And you can send us an email to talk@talklouisiana.org. And a listener, Imad, asked about how things are now for people of the Islamic faith in this community. Is it quiet or is it still a source of concern?
Although it's quiet, but as a leadership of the Islamic Center, as well as I think many centers around the United States, we have taken this issue seriously. We have upgraded our security system. We have upgraded our contact with the local and state and federal enforcements, and we keep numbers handy. And also we have, like this is the first time, today is the first day of Ramadan, our fasting, where it's a holy month and congregation has a lot of attendance at night. We have to pay from our congregation to have a deputy standing in front of the two facilities we have during the prayers, just to assure our people and make sure that they're secure. Things are not, although we thank God that nothing happened in Baton Rouge, but we can't take this for granted after what happened in the synagogues and the churches and the mosques. So we take this seriously.
How do we compare with other places you go as far as religious tolerance?
I think it's pretty extraordinary that you have an organization like the Interfaith Federation that's been around over 30 years. You don't expect to have that in the Deep South, in the Bible Belt. So people come in and think that we're part of a network throughout the country, and that's not true. So I think this legacy has helped us to come together and to support each other during difficult times. And that comes out of all the hurricanes and the disaster work that we've done, that we roll up our sleeves and we work together and respond to the person, whether it doesn't matter the race, the faith tradition, we reach out. So there is a certain opportunity that we have as we respond to disaster to see each other, to get to know each other in ways. But in our community, we have over 600 congregations, and so that's a lot. And so one of the things that drives, I think, how we will respond to a variety of needs that we have is through the faith leaders and through our congregations. So part of what the Interfaith Federation does is try to get us to know each other and to figure out how we can work on some kind of common ground, which is the concern of our neighbor.
And you've been in charge for 10 years. How have things evolved over that period?
Well, most recently, I think we're really seeing that we have this opportunity to be a hub of communication. So we've increased our ability to communicate with these 600-plus congregations. And many times people do not know what one congregation is doing in another part of town. And so as I hear, whether it's the police chief or the mayor, Homeland Security, when they get ready to want the faith community to respond, I think we have an opportunity to let people know this is how we can be an asset to the community. And then each congregation selects whether they want to be involved or not.
Well, we live in a predominantly Christian city, mm-hmm. and Christians sometimes believe, and they use the Bible to validate their belief that people of other faiths are going to hell, mm-hmm. non-believers are going to hell, and maybe some fellow Christians are going to hell if they don't subscribe to the brand of Christianity that they subscribe to. How do you counter that?
Well, I think that as a Christian, as part of the Abrahamic tradition, and along with Jews, Muslims, Baha'i, God has created us in God's own image, is what all of us believe. And so there is a certain kind of respect that we have for each other because we are of God's creation. So this idea that that some faith traditions say you must believe what I believe, but that doesn't mean that you have the right to destroy and kill or hate the other. At least in my tradition, that God is love and that we are exposed to extend love and hospitality even to the stranger, the one that is different from us. And somehow, just because one thinks one is right doesn't negate the other person as having a right to breathe and to live.
Imad, as a Muslim, do you believe that your faith has a monopoly on the kingdom of God, that only Islamic people will go to heaven and all the rest of us will go somewhere else, perhaps to a not-so-place, a good place that's rather hot? What do you think?
The truth is, I second what Reverend Robin said. It's we believe what we believe, and still we are tolerant. There is an integral part of our understanding of our faith that God has created us from among a man and a woman, and He, the one who made us the way we are. And I'll tell you, really, I have personally, throughout my 25 years in Baton Rouge, I have had good relations and discussions with many non-Muslims, and to the point that one very good Catholic, he told me, "Imad, you make a good Catholic." I said, "Don, you make a better Muslim." This is how we see it. So really, Muslims in general don't believe that they have to change the world or have to have monopoly. They just want to do what God has, their understanding of their deen and what God has ordered them to do, their prayers and go to their place of church and be nice to everybody. And exactly in the Quran, it says, "Lakum dinakum waliya deen." You have your faith and I have my faith. Nobody is forced to accept others' religion.
How do you respond to people of your faith who do violent things?
People do violent things in all faiths, not in Islamic faith. I mean, I don't have to kind of, you know better than me that accidents and incidents of hijacking the faith that happen in every religion. Now, if people had to use force to apply their religion, I am against them. In Islamic Center of Baton Rouge, we really have a very strong policy against this kind of attitude and this kind of behaviors. And if we really see any situation where it requires us to warn the authorities, we're not hesitate. We're not going to wait for somebody to come do it for us. We'll take
care
of our community.
Well, and I agree that we shouldn't be painted with a broad brush. Tim McVeigh was a Christian, and he blew up the federal building in Oklahoma City. But sometimes we generalize, and that gets to the root of what your organization's all about. We shouldn't be doing that, should we?
You know the answer to that. I think that that it is easier, it's simpler to just generalize, and then we don't have to think, we don't have to process, we're not challenged. Until then, you sit down and have a conversation with someone, and you realize that we do breathe the same air and look at the same stars and have concerns about children and our families, and we do want to live life. We want to be good neighbors.
Well, tell us more about Thursday, the 9th. 9 o'clock, you get started. Registration at 8:30. What's going on?
So it is important that we be smart. We realize these times mean we need to be prepared.
Okay.
So
where will it be?
American Red Cross Center, 4655 Sherwood Common Boulevard.
And you're bringing in people of all faiths. And, of course, there will be people in the public realm as well. And for more information, I have a phone number, 225-267-5600, 225-267-5600. And we're back tomorrow. Stay tuned.